Exodus chapter 20, if you got your Bibles there. And we're going to cover two commandments tonight. We're going to cover the fourth and the fifth. And the fourth commandment's dealing with the Sabbath day, and then the fifth commandment's dealing with honor thy father and thy mother. And I got a couple of scriptures I want to go to, a couple of things I want to share with you. When we deal with the fourth commandment, when it comes to the Sabbath day, we're going to be showing you a few things about what the Lord had originally set the Sabbath up for. It was not set up to be observed by the church. It was set up to be observed by Jews, and it was given to them as a sign. Sometime after the Lord had ascended, and kind of, we call it history, but time had kind of progressed and went on, what you wind up with is you wind up with a group of Christians who started adopting that terminology of the Sabbath day, yet it wasn't observed the same day as what the Jews observed it on. To the Jew, a Sabbath day was on Saturday, and that's when they observed the Sabbath. But sometime after the Lord had ascended there in church history, in the first century church, second century church, what you've got is you've got a group of Christians who they realize that according to Peter and Paul and James and John, that the first day of the week was the day that they used to observe the day of worship. And they started calling it the Lord's Day. And that's what they began to use the terminology, the Lord's Day. Although there were many clergymen who referred to Sunday as the Sabbath day. But it's not the Sabbath. Now, I want to look at a few things here. Come ahead to Exodus chapter 20. Look at what he says. He says in verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God." Oh, I skipped verse 9. Forgive me. Verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord, is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Now, he says to remember the Sabbath. One thing you need to understand about this commandment is out of all 10 of them, this one is the only one that is ceremonial, which is something that you observe at a certain time constantly. This is the only commandment you've got that's like that. All the rest of the commandments that you have right there, from the first all the way to the 10th, are all moral commandments. It all has to do with, we talked about the first three, have to do with your conduct toward the Lord as far as thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, and thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. First three commandments are all aimed at the Christian's conduct or a Jew's conduct in the doctrinal passage toward the Lord. But then as you get into these, the rest of them, they're all still moral commandments. I mean, thou shalt not kill, steal, commit adultery, false witness, all that. It's all still moral. However, the fourth commandment dealing with this Sabbath day is the only one of the 10 that is ceremonial. It's something that has to do with an event that takes place each and every week. It's a Sabbath day. All right, now let's look at a verse here, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. And in Colossians 2 verse 16, and he even concludes it in verse 17, he says this. I'll give y'all a minute. I'm sorry. I could get on a horse and just ride pretty quick if I ain't careful. But I want you to get these passages here, and I'm going to give you a couple of doctrinal applications to the Sabbath day, and then we're going to get into a few practical things. All right, Colossians chapter 2, look at what he says in verse 16. He says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come." You see that in verse 17? "Which are a shadow of things to come." But look at what he says here. Here's how you distinguish the difference between then and now. Because he's telling you, don't let anybody judge you in the meat and the drink and the respect of a holy day and so on and so forth. But look at what he says at the end of verse 17. He says, the body is... Who's the body? Yeah, but who's the body? We are. He's the head of the body, right? The body's of Christ. He's telling you to distinguish the difference. See, that's the reason why you and I don't have to keep a Sabbath. What you and I don't observe a Sabbath day. Listen, if we observe the Sabbath day, then on Saturday ought nobody be going out doing anything. Well, good Lord, if you're a working individual, Saturday's the only day you had to go and do anything. Because why? Well, we go to church on Sunday. So how in the world are you going to take time to do your grass mowing? And I mean, hey, listen, you can't even hook up the boat and go fishing on Saturday if that's the case. You see what I'm saying? I mean, he says that you're not even supposed to kindle a fire in your dwelling places on the Sabbath day. Over in Numbers chapter 15, verse 33 to 36, you've got a passage over there where a man was caught gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. You know what they did to him? Took him outside the camp and stoned him. I mean, good Lord, what if they drove by your driveway and saw you out there in the yard mowing the grass on the Sabbath day? Somebody come up and just pick up a rock and just sitting there tossing it when you make your next lap. I hope that was a good mowing because you're going to feel it. See, we don't have that Sabbath, and I thank God for that because that's what he's saying over there in Colossians 2. He says that the body is of Christ, and that's you and I. We're a part of the body of Christ. All right, now let's look at a couple other things. All right, now what is the purpose? What was the purpose of this Sabbath? Whenever he brought it about, what was the purpose of the Sabbath? Well, first and foremost, it was a principal day of rest. Why? Because you need rest. I mean, listen, this day of hustle and bustle and hurry and get this done, and I've got to be here at this time and I've got to be here at that time. Listen, the Lord set this up not only for the Old Testament Jew, but this is something to be observed by a New Testament Christian as well. You need to slow down every once in a while. You need to learn how to rest. I mean, listen to me. There are days, beloved, when I can walk in the door and go get a hot shower and not even have had a hot meal and sit down in my chair, put my feet up and my eyes shut, and I'm gone. And that's it. But listen to me. The Lord has set this up so that you and I will understand that the Lord puts an emphasis on your need to rest. Because he set aside a day for these people that would be the Sabbath of rest is what he called it. Listen, every 7 years, they even had a Sabbath year that was one where they let the land where they were planting and they were growing their crops for the survival of the... They would grow their plants, and then on the seventh year, on the sixth year, they would prepare twice as much and gather twice as much because on the seventh year, the Sabbath year, they wouldn't observe, that they wouldn't plant that year. You know what he even decreed in the Levitical law? He said, whatever grows in that year of itself, don't touch it. Don't harvest it. Why? Because even the Lord knew that the land itself needed to rest. I mean, listen, that seems to be an awful word to try to tell people. Because they're either taking it too far the one way or they take it too far the other way. You tell somebody, listen, you're going too hard. You need to slow down and rest a little bit. And the Lord decrees that as being a way of keeping good health. But then you can go the opposite direction and you can have the guy that just, all they want to do is rest. And of course, Proverbs tells you about that. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to the sleep. He said, so shall thy poverty come and thy want come as an armed man. So this thing was set up as the Lord to give a people a chance to rest. Let me show you another thing. Come to Psalms. I just thought of this. Come to Psalm 78. Let me show you this. Psalm 78. Now, when it comes to the Lord returning and coming back to get us all, the Bible gives you a very distinct description of what the Lord coming back is going to be like. As in, He's up there right now. He's seated on the right hand of the Father right now. What is He doing right now? He's making intercession for you and me, right? That's what He's doing right now. Okay, so what does that, but what else is He doing? He's sitting. He's not standing, He's sitting. He's sitting there on the right hand of the Father making intercession. What else is He doing besides making intercession? Well, what do you do when you're sitting down? You're resting. He's there, He's resting. And He's making intercession for you and I. But this is what's going to happen when He comes back. Look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78, come to verse 65. 78, 65. Look at what He says. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep and like a mighty man that shouted by reason of wine. And He smote His enemies in the hinder parts and put them into a perpetual reproach. Moreover, He refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which He loved. Now you go on down through there and you're going to read some other things that talk about some futuristic events, but the Bible says that when he comes back, it's going to be like a man that's awoken out of sleep. Why is that? Because he's up there resting. Listen, he created heaven and earth and everything that was in them for 6 days, and what does it say he did on the seventh? He rested. Say, oh, he's tired. That ain't what that meant. It meant he stopped what he was doing. He took a moment to stop what he was doing and reflect on the things that he had done. Listen, a day of rest doesn't just mean that it's not laziness. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference in rest and laziness. And he says that a day of rest is not only meant for you to be able to relax your mind, to relax your body, but it's also that you may meditate on things that you ought to be meditating on. Why else would the Sabbath day, if you want to call it that, or the Lord's day as it was known in the New Testament age, why else would he say that that day was to be set aside to go to the house of God and hear preaching and worship and lift up the name that's above every name, and he go through all of, I mean, listen, people around here, it's always known that people say, well, what do you do on Sunday? Well, it used to be years ago, they'd say, well, we go to church. Why are you going to church? Well, that's what we do around here. I mean, you see what I'm saying? They made it a habit. And then every day after church, whenever you got through, I remember when I was a kid, man, whenever I'd go to church up at my nanny and papa's church up there at Yellow Mountain, and I'd go up there to church with them, and I mean, whether it was Hardin Nicholson up there preaching, and I remember when that old man, I remember that old man getting up there preaching, because I remember he never got out from behind the pulpit unless he had dual exhaust rolling down the sides of his mouth where he was foaming from how hard he preached. I remember when Stillwell was up there. I mean, I can remember when all those men were up there and they were all preaching. Listen, whenever we get done preaching and the service was over with, it was always the thing to do to go back to Nanny's house, sit down at the table, and eat dinner that she had already been cooking starting the night before. Put the soup beans on the pot, or put whatever it was on the pot, and get supper started, or get dinner ready, sorry. And then whenever we get around the table, say grace, we'd sit there and eat. And then next thing you know, my uncle disappeared, my papa disappeared, Nanny and Sherry disappeared, and I'd be out there running around trying to play with Jess and Wade and all of my cousins. We'd go to looking and figuring out where everybody was. You know where they was? In there on the couch. Generally, it was Nanny sitting in a chair and Sherry sitting in a chair, and here was Papa on the couch, and here was Randall in the recliner, and all of them just passed out as cold as a wedge. Why? Because the Lord set that day aside for it to be a day where you slow down. You slow down, and not only do you rest this body, but it's a day that ought to be set aside for you to just think about Him. Just think about Him. Listen, you've got every other day of the week to be in a hurry. You've got every other day of the week to let your mind be occupied with everything else that has to be thought about. And listen, God understands that we have bills to pay. God understands we have families to look after. God understands that you have things that are on your plate that must be attended to. But listen, that should not stop you from taking some time to stop and slow down and have a day that you just think and meditate on Him. And you just think about Him, and you just find yourself in awe of His wonderment, and find yourself in awe of His Spirit, and just find yourself just enamored by the fact that His mercy and His grace got you through another week and brought you through another set of trials. Amen. And He set a day apart for you to be able to do that. Now, we ought to be doing that every day. Right? We ought to be doing that every day. But I mean, it ain't always the case. Get Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Now, I'm trying to hurry up through this because I really want to get to the next one. Because the next one's a good one. This one ain't a bad one, but Matthew 11, and get down in verse 28. You see the emphasis here that God puts on your need to slow down long enough to rest. And even though your rest may not, listen to me, your rest may not be physical. Sometimes the biggest beating you could take through a week is a spiritual beating. And the Lord understands that not only does your spirit need, not only does your body need to rest, but sometimes your spirit needs to rest too. Hence, He gives you Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now listen, here's where it gets bizarre. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't it awkward that the only person who could help you rest and the rest that he gives you is putting a yoke on you? Listen, if you put a yoke on you in any other situation, it would indicate more work to be done. But here the Lord says, you put my yoke upon you and you learn of me. And he says, I will give you rest through that. And he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Why does he say that about the yoke that he bears? Because he's on the other end pulling with you. Usually when it come to a yoke of oxen, that indicated two oxen, sometimes more than that. But you know what? I mean, listen, there are so many applications you can get into this. I got to listen to an old-time preacher one time, and he talked about his grandpa, and his grandpa was a logger. And my great-grandpa was a logger, too, out. And he was a logger, too, up there around the old homestead. And they would always use oxen. And they would use oxen to pull these logs with and to pull these carts with. And you know one of the wonderful things that they said about an ox that you wouldn't get out of a donkey? When it come to pulling, whenever the donkey would put his shoulders into the harness and he would pull and he felt enough resistance that he couldn't budge it with his own weight, he would back up, he would sit down, he would quit. Because he reckoned within himself, if my own personal weight can't pull this load, there's no use in me struggling, so he just sits down and he quits. But an ox, do you know what an ox would do? An ox will pull, and it will pull, and it will pull, and if what it is pulling cannot be moved by the force of its own weight. Now listen, this will preach for about 10 miles if you'll let it. If he can't pull it, he gets down on its knees, and it leans in, and it uses its knees, and it pushes, and it forces that stump out of the ground. Listen to me, when you don't feel like you got the strength to pull whatever it is that you're pulling by standing on your own two feet, why don't you get on your knees? You tend to be able to pull a little more. Amen. The Lord says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Why? Because he's in the other side. He's in the other harness right beside of you. He's the one that's pulling. You know what that does? That blesses me. Why does it bless me so much? I'll tell you, because whenever I see that he's in the harness beside of me, he tells me my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He's carrying the majority of the load. You know what he's doing? He's just blessing me with an opportunity to be a part of what he's doing. He didn't need me in that yoke. He don't need me on that. He don't need my head in that yoke to get the job done. He's pulling the load himself. You know what he did? He gave me the blessing of being able to be a part of what he's doing. That's something. All right, now the first day of the week is what this is for us. Now why is it? Let me give you a couple things. Why is it the first day of the week? Why did it go from being the Sabbath on Saturday to being the Lord's Day on Sunday, which we observe? Why is that? Well, because number one, the Lord resurrected on Sunday, first day of the week. Right? See, they got it wrong when they say Good Friday is the day when the Lord died. He couldn't have died on Good Friday. Because you can't get 3 days out of a Friday and a Saturday, out of a Friday evening if that's when he died, because he died he said it was the ninth hour. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He can't have died then and then had 3 days to have laid in the grave. If he died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that put him Friday and then into Saturday be day one, and then from Saturday into Sunday be day two. He got up Sunday morning. It wasn't that. No, he got up Sunday morning. I could get into a whole other thing with that. But why is it on the first day of the week for us? Well, that's when he arose. Not only that, though, here's something else that you can tell. When he arose and he got out of the grave and Mary saw him, he said, don't touch me. He said, I've not yet ascended to my Father. What did he tell her? Go to my brethren. You see, what's funny about this is the first two times the Lord appeared to the people after his resurrection, it was the first day of the week, and people were gathered. You see that? First day of the week, he resurrects. What does he tell Mary? It's early Sunday morning. Listen, early Sunday morning. Mary's going to the tomb. She's going to take some spices and some things. She's going to anoint the body. And ever she gets there and the stone's rolled away and the angel's sitting there, "Why you seek you the living among the dead? He's not here, for he's risen." And then she sees him. She thinks he's the gardener. He says, "Go and tell my brethren." Well, she runs and she tells them, and listen, where are they? They're gathered together where? In the house. They're all gathered together in the house. And whenever they get there and he appears, it's still Sunday morning and they're all together in one place. That's why we meet on the first day of the week. We get together in the house on the first day of the week in hopes that the Lord will meet with us. And it happened the second time too. He showed up the next time. And guess who wasn't in the show the first time around? Thomas. Well, that's why it's important for when the doors are open, you ought to be in the place of worship. Why? Because you don't know what you might miss. Listen, I've told you folks this before. Me and Brother Candler's talked about this on a number of occasions. I love evening services. I love Sunday night services. I love Wednesday night. Now listen, I love Sunday morning too, but there's just something about a Sunday night service or a Wednesday night service when you've got all that original stuff that you've had to get through. Listen, you've had to preach on things on Sunday morning because there's folks that don't come any other time but Sunday morning, and they need things to get them through the week, and so you have to give them what the Lord needs for them through the week. But then Sunday night rolls around and Wednesday night rolls around, and boy, you can sink the plow in, man, and you can really just rear back and just preach a far out of some stuff. I mean, listen, I don't know if anybody else is having a good time. I'm having a great time up here tonight. How else do you have a good time preaching about a Sabbath day? Except that you've already had to go through some things and you've showed up on a night service and said, "Lord, we're here for one reason and one reason only. We want you to show up." The Holy Spirit came down over in Acts chapter 2. I wonder what day that was. Hey, listen, if you need a verse for a Sunday night service, go to Acts 20. If that's something you need. You remember over there where Paul, it says, he was preaching and he went long into the night. Some of y'all are sitting there going, "Preacher, you better not go till midnight." Hey, listen, Paul preached till midnight. Anybody remember the guy's name who fell out the window? Yeah, his name was Eutychus. I liked what the other one, I heard an old preacher one time, he said this. He said, what happened to Eutychus? You remember what happened to him, right? He fell asleep up there in the window. And he fell out the window. You know why he fell out the window? Because he had more hanging out than he had hanging in. You don't fall out, go sleep on God. If you got more hanging out than you got hanging in, you'll fall. And then when you hit the ground, Eutychus too. I'm kidding. That's a terrible joke. I'm not a comedian, y'all. All right. Why should you take these services as being important? Why should this be important? Well, number one, it's because of the influence that being here has on your family. That's an important thing. The influence that it has on your family is directly dependent on you being here when you're supposed to be. Listen, I don't have a verse to tell you that you ought to be in church on a Wednesday night. I don't have any verse for that because there's no verse that says you should be at church on a Wednesday night. And I have literally had people tell me, "Preacher, there's no verse to say that I have to be there on Wednesday night, so by the Word of God, I'm not required to be there." I say, "Well, brother, if your relationship with God will allow you to miss church when you know you ought to be there, you go right ahead. Your problem's not with the church or the Bible. Your problem's with the one who wrote it." That's who your problem's with. That's right. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's what he said. But now if you're looking for a book, chapter, and verse reference that you ought to be here on a Wednesday night, there ain't one. But listen, I believe with all my heart, if your relationship with God's right, then you'll be where you ought to be. Amen. All right. Not only is it the influence that it has on your family, but you got to make it personal. It's the influence it'll have on you. It can't just be about your family. You know, there's a lot of people who go to church just for the kids. A lot of folks that go to church just because their kids need to be in church. Yeah, but what about you? You need something too. You can't just go to church just because kids need to get in church. Listen, I can think of a lot of parents right now that ought to be in church for the sake of their kids. Amen? I'm going to tell you, I lay in my floor there under my desk every night with this book right here. And this book is nothing but, this is my prayer book. I just write prayer requests in this book. That's all I do with it. But I'm going to tell you something. I have laid in my floor and soaked the pages of this thing with tears over children that are not being brought up in the house of God, and they're going to die and they're going to go to hell because mom and dad can't find it in themselves to get over themselves and get in the house of God like they need to. Amen. And then precious little souls are going to go to hell because mom and dad just can't get off their blessed assurance and get themselves to the house of God. I mean, everybody's all about it right now. Everybody's all about it. You can't tell me what to do. Bless God, I've got a right to do this and I got a right to do it. Yeah, where were you 5 years ago? Where were you in here being faithful 5 years ago when nobody was trying to infringe on your rights? When there wasn't nothing stopping you from being here. Listen, I ain't getting into politics or none of that junk. But listen, can I tell you something? You know, whenever we got our former president in office, what everybody was worried about, they was worried about we's gonna have jihad around here. Oh, he's a Muslim. We're gonna wind up with our women walking around with little hoodies on, masks, and we're gonna have to do this, and we're gonna be restricted by this. Listen, I don't remember any of that happening. Amen. But I can tell you in the last 3.5 years what we've had. I can tell you in the last year what we've had. You ain't had nothing but masks on. You ain't had nothing but restrictions. But I ain't heard nobody. I didn't hear nobody 5 years ago telling them, you can't take my rights away from me. You can't take this away from me. You can't take that away from me. But boy, that's what they're screaming now. I've had them come to me and I've had them tell me, brother, we've got to get back to church. And I'm looking at them like, we never left. I mean, we quarantined just like everybody else quarantined. But these are people coming to me saying this that ain't been to church in for long as I know. I've never known some of these people to darken a church door. But they're, man, we've got to get back to church. Why? Because it's our right to be in church. Where are you? Where are you? All right, but then let's look at another one. Look at the fifth commandment over here. Come to verse 12. And I'll be quick with this. I'll try. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, if you need two more applications of that, I can give you the verses. I'm not going to go there for sake of time. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. That's where it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. All right? And then in Colossians 3, verse 20, I believe that's where he says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. All right? So this one commandment not only has Old Testament application, but it's got New Testament application because Paul includes it in his writings as well. So it's for you to follow. Now listen, when he says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, that does not mean you honor your father and your mother until they're gone. You honor your father and mother as long as you live. It don't matter if they're gone or not. You keep honoring your father and your mother as long as you're alive. That's what that means. I mean, listen, we don't stop honoring people just because they ain't here anymore. I still to this day think about my papaw. I still to this day remember things he taught me and things he showed me. I mean, and y'all are all sitting here, and every one of y'all has lost people that means something to you. And every one of y'all have memories of what they said to you and something they did for you or something they taught you that never left you. And ever he says, honor thy father and thy mother, this is the commandment that he says. I mean, listen, the majority of parents, they don't want a kid who's a thief or a troublemaker. Amen? It don't matter what caliber of parent they are. I don't know that there's any parent really that honestly wants their kid to turn into a thief or a lawbreaker or somebody like that. I mean, good Lord, even a thief wants his money in a good bank. Really? I mean, even a thief wants his money in a good bank. I don't know that there's any parent, even if the parent wasn't fit to raise a cat, I don't think that there was any parent that really would want to see their kid turn out to be like them, especially when it comes to their failures. Now, how do we honor our father and our mother? First of all, you need to show them respect. You need to show them some respect. I'm going to give you one verse here, and then I'm going to move quickly through it. But the last book of your Old Testament is Malachi. And in Malachi chapter 1, he tells you this in verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. If I'm a father, where's my honor? It's a question. If I'm a father, where's my honor? How do you honor your parents? How do you honor your father and your mother? You show them respect. You show them respect. Now, kids today, they ain't got no respect. Listen, I can tell you right now that there are moms and dads, and if you do this, I ain't saying it. If you did this, but you know, most of y'all in here, your kids are grown and they're gone. I mean, some folks have still got some kids. I know Denise still got Max and some of the girls, and then me and Heather, of course, we got Katie Grace. But most of y'all that has kids, your kids are done and grown and gone. And I don't know if you did this or not. My parents never did this for me. They never even offered this to me. But if you pay your kids to do chores, listen, whenever I got told to do something in the house, it wasn't so that I could earn some money. Why was it? It was so I didn't get my butt whooped. Listen, my sister's job was to do dishes. My job was to take out trash and keep the grass mowed. I don't think my brother had anything. At least by the time he was old enough to do anything, I was gone already anyway. Now, Jerry kept grass mowed. He done pretty good about that, so I'll give him his props where that's concerned. But listen, I can remember that whenever I was given something to do, it wasn't so that I could earn a little extra money. You know what allowance was for me? Yes, you may go over to so-and-so's house and spend the night. That was allowance. Allowance for me wasn't $5 a week or $7 a week, or for some it's $20 a week. I didn't get allowance. If I needed something, I had to go and ask for it. Dad, can I have 20 bucks? And then the question I always got asked, why? What do you need it for? Yeah, there's your payment right there. You got a dinner table to sit down at? You got a meal on that plate? There's your payment. That's all you're going to get. There ain't no kids now with respect. They ain't got no respect for authority. I mean, they don't. I mean, they ain't got no respect for the police. They ain't got no respect for their teachers. Listen, a kid's got a problem at the school. You know what it is? It's the teacher's fault. My kid's falling behind because of that teacher. It's her. It's that teacher's fault. It ain't my kid's fault. I'm going to take the side of my 10-year-old or 12-year-old or 14-year-old who ain't got enough sense to get their head out of the sand on a dry day and get in the shade, and I'm going to take their word over somebody that's been doing this job for 10 or 15 years. And that's what I'm going to do. Why? Because I'm going to take the kid's word. That kid don't halfway know that he's even in the world, let alone have enough sense to tell you something. You think they're going to tell you the God's honest truth all the time? No, they're going to make themselves out to be a victim every time. And mom and dad's going to believe them. And they go to the school, and they go to the principal. And I don't like this teacher because they told my little darling this. They ain't got no respect for police officers. Don't matter if you get pulled over or not. It was yes, sir. No, ma'am. And when they walked up to the window and you roll the window down, do you know why I pulled you over? No, sir, you liar. You know exactly why they pulled you over. If you didn't know why they didn't pull you over, then as soon as you seen them pass you, you wouldn't have dumped the brake pedal. Amen. That goes for adults too. Down the highway we go, see that light on the other end? It don't matter if we're speeding or not. Why? Because that guilty conscience, man. How do you honor your father and your mother? You respect them. Because I'll tell you something, when you don't show respect where respect is needed, authority, your job, your boss, your parent, you know, whoever, I'll tell you where eventually it's going to carry over. It's going to carry over into your spiritual life. And you're no longer going to have respect for the Lord. You're no longer going to have fear for Him, or not going to have fear for His Word, or respect for His Word, or respect for His servant, respect for His house. If you can't honor your father and your mother, you ain't going to have respect for authority. And listen, the failures you and I will experience by not obeying those that we've had over us as children, as our parents, our grandparents, by not honoring them, that is going to roll over into our work world, and that is going to cause us to have work world failures, and then that is going to lead right into our spiritual life, and we will be failures as Christians. Why? Because if we can't submit to an authority that we can see, how are you going to submit to one that you don't see? Amen? I'll tell you another way you do it. You got to be obedient. You need to be obedient. I mean, here's a person who's looking to hire somebody and they want an employee and they got somebody that comes in and they offer their application and they say, okay, what kind of experience do you have? Well, I don't have any experience where this job is concerned. Okay, well, what qualities do you have? Well, I'm pretty good at doing what I'm told. They'll hire you on the spot. Right? Versus, well, you know, I used to. And then you just go to laying out your qualifications. Well, so I don't know much, but I do know this. I know I'm good. I can do what I'm told. One way we honor those over us is we're obedient. And I'll say this too, submit to discipline. When you got it coming, man, don't try to run and hide from it. Stand there and take your lumps like you're supposed to. When you screw up, go to the throne room of grace, put it under the blood, confess it before Him, and if there's some chastisement coming, thank God He's chastening you, because the Bible says if you be without chastisement, you're bastards and not sons. Thank God He loves you enough to chasten you because you're His child, and take your lumps. Amen. Be obedient, and that means submitting to the discipline. When you do wrong, admit you done wrong. Now listen, when He gives you restrictions, abide by them. Amen. Abide by them. Heed the advice that they give you, because they're full of it. They got a lot of wisdom, and you need to heed it. I mean, most parents are going to advise their kids in ways that's good. No parent's going to give their kid a bum turn on purpose. At least if they're unless they've got a real issue. And then let me tell you this. And this is something that's more for, I guess, my age group. And I say my age group, I'm talking Denise on down. When they get old, take care of them. I ain't going to point people out and anything like that, but there's somebody sitting in this church house right now that does that to a absolute T. And I pray for that individual and ask the Lord to give them strength in all of that. I'm not saying, listen, that's what we ought to do. We ought to do that. When they get older, take care of them. Take care of them. That's how you show them that you love them. That's how you honor them. Take care of them. You take care of them. Boy, that's a blessing. There's no commandment that you should love your parents, because the Lord takes for granted that you'd already appreciate them for everything they've done. Amen? He says honor your father and your mother, but He didn't say nothing about loving them. Why wouldn't He say it about loving them? Because He just takes for granted the fact that if you're willing to honor them, you do it because you love them, because of everything they've done for you. Hey, listen, we was talking there just a second ago about these kids today who won't go and do a chore unless they know they're going to get paid for it. Listen, I'm glad that my mom and dad didn't give me a bill for everything that they did for me. Amen? Amen? I'm glad I didn't get a bill for every load of laundry that I had to have washed. I'm glad I didn't get a bill for every meal that I had to have cooked. I'm glad I didn't have to pay rent when I needed a bed to sleep in even after I was an adult. Thank God for that. What is that? That means there's somebody that loved me enough to do that for me, and they're worth honoring. They're worth my respect. Amen. Provide for them when they're old enough, when they're older. And I'll tell you this, and this is just something, and I just wrote this down because this just kind of came to me. If they ever get to the place where they lose their memory, be sure that you never forget. Because they may be at a place where they can't remember. But don't you ever let yourself get to a place where you ever forget everything that they've done for you. I mean, listen, I had a great grandmother who spent her last days at Brett Haven down there in Franklin. And when she got ready to leave this world, the poor thing didn't know her. She didn't know her children. She didn't know any of us. great-grandchildren and great-grandchildren, she didn't know any of us. She didn't know none of us. The only person she never forgot was my papa, her son. It's the only one she never forgot who he was. And all the ladies over there at Brett Haven, they called her Aunt Daisy. And they'd come into the room and they'd walk over there, and as they would be dressing her or changing her or bathing her, they'd say, "Hey, Aunt Daisy, how about singing us a song?" And the first thing that old woman would go into, would she go into, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." And she'd finish that one. They'd say, "Sing us another one. Those are such pretty songs." She'd say, "Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer." See, she forgot everything, but she didn't forget the one that saved her. Amen. But listen, when they get to the place where they can't remember all the things that they've done for you, listen, I don't know what it is about parents, but they're really good at reminding you about what they've done for you. "If you only knew how long I was in labor with you, I was in labor for 3 days." Y'all all heard that, I'm sure. Some of y'all probably told that a time or two. No, you ain't never told it. Y'all use it. It works. No? Oh. Yeah, okay. Well, hey, listen, it don't matter whether you did or you don't. I don't know a woman that don't walk through the valley of the shadow of death to bring a young'un in the world. God's grace, it brought you out on the other side and you got to live to see him. Amen? Hey, listen, when they get too old to where they can't remember that stuff, you don't ever forget it. That's how you honor them. And I know, listen to me, folks, I know the kind of world we live in. I know the kind of world we live in. I know that as the days go on and the things continue getting worse and worse and worse, I know that there's people in this world that don't seem like they ought to, that they don't deserve to have a child under their care. That it would be so much better. Listen, I don't understand why the hand of the Lord chooses to allow people like that to have children, but then somebody who would be a wonderful parent don't get to have any children. And I don't have the answers to those questions. I don't have the reasons for why that's so. But I do know this, if you're here and you got a mama or a daddy, it don't matter what sort they might have been or how you might have felt about them, you still owe them your honor. You still need to honor them because, listen, you've got to at least acknowledge the fact that even if they're whatever, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. You wouldn't be here. At least for the fact that you have life, you can at least honor them in that fashion. But listen, for those of you who's got mamas and daddies and had mamas and daddies that was worth something and they loved you, and they raised you right, grandparents that loved you and brought you up right, they taught you the things of God, they raised. Listen, I laid in my floor last night and I wept and cried and just thanked God that I had a mama and a daddy that raised me in the house of God and taught me about salvation. Hey, I ain't the only preacher's kid in here. Got the preacher's daughter over yonder. She can relate to the same thing, I bet. Sit there and say, "Thank God for a mom and a daddy that raised me in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so that I could learn as early as I could about salvation and get born again." What is that? That's a reason to honor them. Amen. And they're due it. It may be an Old Testament commandment, but it's New Testament applicable. Amen. All right. Heavenly Father, we pray now as we get ready to go into the prayer meeting that you may just get glory out of what we say. Father, that the requests of our heart may be exactly what is in the center of your will. But Lord, if it's not, then Lord, we just pray that you'd answer the prayer according to your will, how you'd see fit to do it. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. And whatever's done and accomplished, Father, we'll be sure to bow our heads and give you the glory and honor. For it's in your name and for your sake we pray. Amen.